We continue in our narrative lectionary series. Today's reading is from Isaiah in the 6th chapter. This is Isaiah's call story, where God encounters Isaiah in a really amazing way, full of details and imagery. So hear this reading from Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I have lived among a people of unclean lips, yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Well, my friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This is Isaiah's call story. And what a doozy of one, right? What a doozy. An encounter with the author of life, the creator of all things, seated on a throne amongst the heavenly court. It is quite an unforgettable experience and call story. Isaiah is given a new job. At the time, Isaiah was most likely a priest, already serving inside the temple when he has this encounter with God. And now he is to bring the Lord's message to the people and to the rulers of Israel. And it's not necessarily a happy message. Our assigned passage today does not include what the message is, but to summarize it, the Lord is going to speak some words of hard truth for the people of Israel. God is essentially calling them out after having miserably held up their end of the covenant. They have forsaken God's commandments. They have turned away from God and towards each other. They have given up on the vision that God has for this holy, chosen people. So the work ahead for this prophet is not going to be easy. A prophet's job was never really popular. But even before he was commissioned for this job, standing in the glory and the splendor of God's presence alone causes Isaiah to feel unworthy, inadequate, unqualified. And while all of the hosts of heaven sing, "Holy, holy, holy," in response to God's goodness, Isaiah responds about himself, "Woe to me, I am lost, I am unclean." It's sort of like when you're invited to a gathering and full of other people and they all have something in common with each other except for you, and you feel kind of like an outsider, as though you don't belong there. You feel sort of instantly self-conscious about being there, as if you just don't have a place. And how could Isaiah not feel like this, given these circumstances? The details in this encounter with God show us that God is wholly other, the source of all goodness and glory, and completely sovereign and ruler of heaven and earth, and who dismantles and overrides every human endeavor. So how can Isaiah not feel completely unworthy? How could we not feel unworthy in a circumstance like this? I would venture to guess that there are moments and seasons of our life where we feel maybe completely undeserving of God's care and attention, where you feel like maybe an outsider or a stranger to God or to the church. You might feel plagued by some sort of guilt or shame or from mistakes or struggles. You might feel completely inadequate at times in one or more of the roles that you play in your life. Sometimes we might find ourselves asking, how could God love me? In confirmation class right now, our confirmands are learning about the Ten Commandments. And many of you have already helped them with their homework after worship sometimes. Last week, we were learning about the first commandment. What is the first commandment? You shall not, yes, very good. Okay, all right, that's good. Right, you shall have no other gods before me. I am the Lord, your God. And Martin Luther's explanation of this commandment in the Small Catechism is that we are to fear, love, and trust God above all things. And if we're really honest about it, we as humans are pretty terrible at this. Our hearts are prone to wander, as the hymn goes. We turn away from God to chase and idolize things which often only bring minimal, temporary comfort and security. And instead of entrusting to God our whole selves, our whole lives, and all that we are, we tend to compartmentalize and only give God some of who we are. And yet, while God is wholly other and sitting on the heavenly throne, God is nevertheless attentive to the well-being of God's own creation. God is a God of healing and grace and mercy and forgiveness. And in this passage that we see today, the fiery coals are sort of an ancient understanding of purification and redemption. So the coal that is put on Isaiah's mouth purifies guilt and blots out Isaiah's sin. God's response to our sin is always forgiveness, grace, and mercy. Always. No one is beyond the bounds of God's attention and love and mercy. God does not simply brush aside the reality of our sin, our faults. God actually does something about it, just like he did here with Isaiah. And in blotting out sin, Isaiah is made completely worthy and qualified and empowered to stand boldly in the presence of God, in the presence of the Lord and this heavenly court. Isaiah receives loving grace without even asking for it. There's a pattern in this story, one that I think is relevant to our lives. I think of it as the three C's: confession, cleansing, and calling. It's the rhythm that I think we are called to live into each day as we live out our lives following Jesus. We are to return to the fountain of grace daily, confessing our sin and our brokenness. We confess so that God's truth may resonate deeply inside of us and point us towards the good news, that in Christ we are forgiven and washed and made clean and healed and made a new creation. This is what we Lutherans call baptismal living. It's also something that we're trying to instill in confirmation with our confirmation students. That daily we are to remember our baptism, where we are plunged into the waters of baptism, where we are to die with Christ so that we are assuredly raised back up again. Baptism is this tangible reminder that you are God's beloved child, forgiven and set free. It's the sign that God's grace is really, truly, wholeheartedly for you, without a doubt, that you are made worthy and qualified. And that's why we give thanks for baptism and worship. That's why we douse you with water, to remind you, because you need that reminder that God's grace in Christ belongs to you. Grace and love and mercy, those things of God, are for you. That you don't have to earn it or achieve it. It's frankly just given to you. All we are to do is our life in our life as a Christian is to receive it with open hands and to trust that it's for us. And baptism is the source of our calling. It's your commissioning as a follower of Jesus. We are sent to love and serve the Lord with joyful hearts, to boldly and confidently proclaim God's truth and grace to all the world in word and deed. We are called to share in kinship with each other and with all people, because God's grace has this equalizing effect on us. It makes us one with each other. It tears down the walls that we often try to put up. It builds this community of one body called the church. We come to this table hungry and ready for words of love and for peace, and we come to this font to be ready to be washed and cleansed and made new. And in those things, we become a body of one. We become one body in Christ. We are equal with each other. And because we carry or we share in this kinship with our neighbors, we are called to be concerned about their welfare and well-being. We are called to this work in the spheres of our everyday lives. We are commissioned to recognize and to name the places in our world where this kinship is unjust and unequal, where people might be suffering or despairing, or where people are given no attention. We are sent to make a difference, to befriend and to care and to serve and to practice love. And like Isaiah and in the footsteps of Christ, there are also times that we are called to speak difficult truths to the world and to power in order that people might be freed and redeemed and raised up. And because each of us belong to Christ, we follow Jesus is teaching to his disciples that what you do to the least of these, and also what you don't do to the least of these, you do or don't do unto me. When we learn to see the face of Jesus in our neighbors and each and every person that we meet, we ourselves learn to practice grace, mercy, and love. God asks each of us every day, whom shall I send? And I pray that through the love and grace of Jesus, we may confidently and boldly say, here am I, send me. Amen. Will you pray with me? Loving Lord Jesus, you call us to preach good news with our whole lives, full of joy. Help us to call on you for strength. Help us to look to love and serve our neighbors and all people. And in doing so, may your love enliven the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.